as you've seen in our news release this afternoon, that we have released the NCAA's amended notice of allegations. The university previously disclosed the original notice of allegations sent to us in May of 2015. And you'll recall that we reported new information to the enforcement staff last August, and the NCAA determined that that required an amended notice, and that's what we have released and announced today. So we have just begun reviewing the amended notice, and it's really important to understand that the notice resulted from our joint investigation with the NCAA. And I'm focused on responding to this amended notice of allegations. The NCAA decides what goes into the notice, and they make the allegations, and that's what we're taking a look at today. We are left with five very significant allegations, all level one allegations, and we take these very seriously. Our job is to respond to the facts and the evidence and try to provide a full picture of our case for the NCAA Committee on Infractions. We're working as hard as we can to secure a fair outcome for Carolina. And as I mentioned about a year ago at this time, I can only comment on the NCAA process and policies. I cannot comment on the substance of our case, and I will not speculate on hypothetical outcomes. So with that, Steve, I'll turn it back to you for questions.
Thanks, Bubba. Kirk, go ahead and give everybody the instructions on how they can ask questions. Thank you.
At this time, I'd like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad, and I'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Andrew Carter from Raleigh News. Your line is open.
Hey, Bubba. Football and men's basketball were named in passing in the first NOA. They're not named in this NOA. Does that give you more confidence that those sports are not subject to sanctions going forward?
You know, Andrew, as I mentioned, we have five allegations, and speculating on sanctions is just something I cannot do. Five level ones, lack of institutional control, failure to monitor, those are significant charges. So, I just want to focus on the ones we have in front of us.
Thanks. I have a quick follow-up, if I could. Obviously, this took 8 months. Is there an explanation as to why this took so long?
I did not. Well, I guess probably the only explanation is, this is maybe the most complicated involved case in history, certainly in our history, and there has been a lot of reporting. There's been a lot of investigations, multiple investigations, and the NCAA is now completing their work by issuing the amended notice. But it's voluminous in nature, and it's over an extended period of time. So I think the volume and the time is probably why it has lasted this long.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of E.L. Brown from ESPN.com. Your line is open.
Hi, Bubba. I was wondering, in terms of the timeline aspect of this, do you anticipate taking a full 90 days to respond again? I know, some of the coaches during the course of the season more or less just talked about they wish they could just kind of get this all over with. Do you still foresee, this maybe even dragging out into 2017 before we have closure?
Well, as far as speculating on time, I've been off by a year so far, so I'm not sure I'm a very good one to speculate on that. But I would think that the 90 days, we have 90 days to respond, as does everyone else named in the amended notice. So I would think that the 90 days would probably be a good number or a good time frame to use for a response.
Your next question comes from a line of Bradley Sachs from Daily Tar Heel. Your line is open.
Hey, Bubba. So I noticed that Jim Box's name obviously is featured prominently, but some of the other tutors that have been, I guess, more well-known since the Wayne Tune report came out, Jamie Lee, Beth Bridger, weren't mentioned. Is there a particular reason as to why Boxall was kind of the only tutor singled out when it seems they all kind of played similar roles?
Well, Bradley, again, the notice speaks for itself. We have provided voluminous amounts of information to the NCAA. They determine if a bylaw has been violated and make that allegation. And all I can respond to is what's in front of us. And that's what the university response will be, is addressing the allegations that are listed in these five.
So as far as, sorry, just a quick follow-up. So as far as Jamie Lee and Beth Bridger and those not named in the amended NOA, in the NCAA's eyes, they did not violate a bylaw?
That would be a good question for them, not me.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of John McCann from Herald Sun. Your line is open.
Hey, Mr. Cunningham.
Hey, John.
Can you give me some insight on the juxtaposition of the investigation in terms of this situation happened many, many years ago, and how it impedes the success of the championship level caliber teams, you know, that are doing, you know, great things right now on the field?
Well, I do think that the length of time that the investigation, both the internal investigations that we've conducted as a university, the external reviews and investigations that have been done, have been taxing and draining on the institution, have hurt us in recruiting in a couple of different ways. But the thing that I'm really encouraged by are the student athletes that we have and the success that we've been having lately. You know, the APR report that just went out last week with 18 of our 28 teams with a perfect 1,000 score, with the APR average going up 26 points in the last 4 years. You know, that's all following the last time we had any of these classes offered. And so the notice of allegation here ranges from February of 2003 to August of 2011. And, you know, we are really looking, unfortunately, at a difficult period in our history. But the current student athletes have done a remarkable job, both academically and athletically, and I couldn't be more proud of the success that they've had. I'm certainly pleased with the recruiting process of our coaches. And I think we have been very open in the admissions process here, and the students that we're admitting are showing and demonstrating that they can compete academically and athletically. And, you know, I think this year in particular is a real statement that Carolina has taken and learned an awful lot from its history and has some outstanding students that alumni and friends can be really proud of.
And just to follow up that, what would you say to the naysayers who say, yeah, UNC's APR looks really good, but those naysayers are still convinced that something shady is still going on? How would you counter that?
Well, you know, I work every day with our provost on an academic working committee. We have a very engaged faculty athletics committee. We have a chancellor that oversees the entire operation. We talk about what it takes to be successful at Carolina in the recruiting process. And, you know, I think we have great checks and balances in place. I think we ask each other difficult questions. And I think our students know coming in that what challenges we have in front of us. In fact, on Saturday, I was at the women's lacrosse game, and we had just finished an undefeated season in women's lacrosse. And Jenny Levy, the coach, told the students that, look, we're going to travel to the ACC championship this week, and we leave on Wednesday. I don't want anyone going out on Saturday. I want you to work on your academics because we're going to miss a lot of school coming up. She said, that's what you signed on for when you came to Carolina. We'll have time to celebrate the ACC championship at another time, but right now we have to keep our priorities in line. And I don't think that's unique. I think that you see that with a lot of our coaches and a lot of our students.
Mr. Cunningham, I appreciate it.
Thanks, John. Appreciate your support at women's tennis this weekend as well.
All right, no doubt.
Your next question comes from the line of Aaron Beard from Associated Press. Your line is open.
Bob, I'm curious what your expectations were from what you guys saw in the first version to waiting all this time to now. Did you have an expectation of how this thing was going to look? Did you have any real idea going into it of what the NCAA was going to determine?
No, we really didn't. You know, it's been 10, 11 months since we received the initial notice, but the dialogue, the investigation, the communication has been constant the entire time. So as I mentioned, this has gone on a long time. There's voluminous amounts of information. And as we continue to provide information to the NCAA, they ask questions, they measure it against bylaws and against their historical precedent. You know, these are the allegations that that we're left with and that we're obligated to respond to.
Bubba, to follow up on that, what became of the men's soccer information you guys reported with the women's basketball stuff in August?
That was submitted as part of the additional information that has been fully adjudicated by the membership affairs staff or the enforcement group. We have recruiting restrictions in men's soccer, and we have a couple of other penalties. I can't remember off the top of my head, Aaron, but that has been fully adjudicated and processed as a level 3 violation, not a 1 or a 2.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Pat Ford from Yahoo Sports. Your line is open.
Hi, Bubba. I was just wondering what your reaction was to the impermissible benefits charge from the original notice of allegations being absent from this one.
Yeah, Pat, you know, I think that is a question for the NCAA. I've got to deal with the 5 that we have. As I said, we've exchanged a lot of information back and forth, and they make determinations of if a bylaw has been violated. I'm working with these 5 that I have in front of me.
Right. I understand that. Was it a surprise at all that was changed?
Not necessarily. Again, you know, we've had conversations for a long time about, and it goes back and forth. It's not a one-way street when you're working with the enforcement staff. You know, we consider the facts, and they consider the bylaws, and ultimately they have to make that judgment and issue a notice of allegation.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Dan Walken from USA Today Sports. Your line is open.
Bubba, to just piggyback on the last question a little bit, with that now sort of being rolled into a failure to monitor charge as opposed to an impermissible benefit charge, how does that change, from your perspective, sort of what you're fighting against when you go into the committee hearing?
Well, certainly, I mean, obviously we have to respond to it, but, you know, I think that all of the things that we've done on our campus for the last 4 years, since we had our final adjudication in March of 2012, was to try to shore up our policies and our procedures and how we make sure that we attend to all the bylaws and ensure that we operate within the principles of the NCAA. And, you know, failure to monitor and institutional control are things that we've worked on for 4 years. We feel confident in our systems, but we're always concerned that we're human, that we can make some mistakes. And as we respond to that allegation, we'll certainly dig deeper into what they believe are the underlying factual informations that support those allegations and try to minimize our risk going forward.
Your next question comes from a line of Dana O'Neill from ESPN.com. Your line is open.
Bubba, I apologize if this sounds a little bit like semantics, but I want to make sure I'm clear because I've been speaking to someone that kind of confused me. This is an amended document an amendment to the original document, not an amended document. Is there a difference? Because is this in addition to or in replace of is what I'm trying to understand, because I was led to believe it was in addition to, not necessarily in replacement of.
This is a replacement of. This document supersedes the original. This is the amended notice of allegations that we're required to respond to.
Okay. So I got bad information. I wanted to make sure that's correct. And you said that you guys exchanged information as you're going through that. That's just basically request and fulfill, not necessarily you guys supplying information to sort of, I don't say curry favor, but to look at the charges differently, correct?
Right. I mean, you know, a joint investigation means that we sit down with witnesses or people that we want to ask questions of. We sit down with documents and we discuss them back and forth. I mean, that is kind of the nature of the joint investigation. They then depart and go back and evaluate their facts against the bylaws and then create the list of allegations.
Thanks, Bubba.
Your next question comes from a line of Dan Kane from Rally News and Observer. Your line is open.
Hey, Bubba. The first notice of allegations cited bad glasses going back to 1993, 18 years. Looking at this, it looks like we're talking about a window beginning in the fall of 2005. Do you know how that happened? Why there was a change?
No. I mean, the amended notice I'm looking at is from February 2003 to the summer of 2011. Those are the five charges I have in front of me.
Yeah, but February 2003 is with Jan Boxall and women's basketball.
Correct.
So that's her interaction with this. But in terms of the, you know, the classes, they went back to 1993. The you know, the allegation four appears to talk about fall 2005 going forward. So, you know, I'm just trying to get some clarity on that. Why did the NCAA start then?
That I don't know the answer to why a specific date was chosen, but I can say that my responsibility is to respond to this notice of allegations. Anything that is in this document from February 2003 until August of 2011.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from a line of Bradley Sack from Daily Tar Heel. Your line is open.
Hey, Bubba, you talked about how the investigation, like, kind of went back and forth. You sat down, you did interviews together, you reviewed documents together. Could you talk about who you did interview? Was Rashad McCants, for instance, interviewed at all?
Yeah, Bradley, I can't talk about the specifics of the case, but I will. It's a joint review and joint interviews when you have any NCAA case. So, again, specific individuals don't talk about, but it is it's a collaborative process where you sit down and you do a complete and thorough review of all the information available to you, and then the NCAA takes that and creates their allegations.
Okay, as far as reports that were used, were there any documents or emails that were used that are not maybe available to the public?
We're working on the FI chart that did accompany our notice of allegations. There are 112 FIs that support these allegations. We're in the process of redacting those, and once they are redacted, we will post those on the website as well.
Could you say where you pulled these from? Like which reports, which investigations, or is this a completely new like investigation that didn't pull from anything else?
Well, there's 112 of them, so I think the best thing to do is wait until we post all of those, and you can go through and take a look at any one you'd like.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
We will take another two questions. Your next question comes from a line of Jake New from Inside Higher Ed. Your line is open.
As you mentioned, you know, this also did NCAA bylaws and how the NCAA determined what was violated and which employees were involved. But the Weinstein report had reported that half the players involved here were football and men's basketball. Were you surprised then to see this focus only on women's basketball and none of those players in those sports?
Well, again, my concern are the five violations or alleged violations that we have that I'm required to respond mm-hmm. to. As far as being surprised, you know, I'm concerned about the five that I have. You know, we've got five level ones, lack of institutional control, and failure to monitor. That's where I'm going to spend my time and focus in trying to defend the university and respond to the NCAA.
All right, thanks.
Your last question comes from the line of Thiel Brown from ESPN.com. Your line is open.
Bubba, I just had one follow in terms of how you go about considering or kind of what's the criteria that you have, whether or not maybe you guys will self-impose any penalties before it gets to the Committee of Infractions?
CL, that's a great question. You know, this is the appropriate time to consider any self-imposed penalties that we would have. I don't want to speculate on that, but likely between now and the date with the Committee on Infractions is the appropriate time to do that.